wishing you a happy new year from all of us at CWH. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to others. Today's message, some good examples for the new year, comes from a few great people of the Bible. We hope it will be of comfort to you.
The first thing I have to do is wish you a happy new year. It's just wonderful. We're starting a new year, first of the year, and we're starting it with the Lord. And wouldn't it be something if Jesus would come this year, this month, maybe today? Well, I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. He'll be here. And then I also want to thank everybody for sending over Christmas, sending all of the Christmas, the cards and the letters and the gifts. And you have been so wonderful. I just thank you. It's just a privilege to be able to minister to you and with you. So God bless you. Well, today we're going to be thinking about examples for the new year. We're going to look at some of the Bible characters and some of the good parts of their life that we might use as an example in our life. But before that, I have to read some letters. We get so many wonderful letters, and I want you to know we read every letter. And if you have a problem, we try to answer every one of you. And so thank you for writing, and get your pencil and paper, because at the close of the service, I'm going to give you our address, and we'd love to hear from you. So we have a letter from Billings, Montana, and this person writes, as usual, you and your staff started the week with so much encouragement. That seems to be the best hour of the week. And this is what she writes. When you answered my questions about my daughter's suicide, you uplifted me so much. Thanks. May God continue to bless you and strengthen you to do his work. And, you know, we have a little book that is about 12 or 14 pages, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is absolutely yes. If you know Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, you will commit suicide, and you shouldn't do it because it's a sin, but that all that sin is covered in the blood of the Lamb. And if you want that little booklet, you write to us and just put suicide. If you can send a gift to help us, that's fine. If you don't have any money, that's fine. We send it to prisons and people on Social Security. Glad to do it. Here's Somerset, Iowa. And now listen to this. Thank you for your faithful service. It's greatly appreciated. And I know it makes the Lord Jesus smile. Blessings to you. Well, I don't know about the smiling, but I know there's rejoicing, because in Luke 15, verse 10, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, if this rejoicing is in the presence of the angels, it means it's the Holy Trinity that's rejoicing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you pray to accept Jesus Christ, and I know on this service, during this service, you're going to pray that. Some of you, many of you, multitudes are going to pray it. And there's rejoicing in the Godhead in heaven in the presence of the angels. Oh, what a glory when people come to Jesus. Here's Sydney, Iowa. I've prayed asking the Lord to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior, but I don't know if I'm praying properly, or I don't know how to realize that he's answering. It's hard for me to get up and down to pray. I used to pray laying in bed, but I didn't think that was the proper way. Well, now, your body position doesn't make a bit of difference. I think it's nice if you can kneel, but at 95, if I kneel, I can kneel all right, but I can't get up again. So you just pray any position you want. You know, Paul prayed in prison. Jonah prayed in the belly of a whale. Daniel prayed in a lion's den. And Stephen prayed while they were stoning him to death. Jesus prayed while on the cross. And so the main thing is your heart, and you talk to Jesus. Now she says, I don't know, I don't realize he's answering. I'll tell you how he answers. He answers in the Bible. And he says, whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. There's your answer. You believe, he says, there's your answer. You're saved. And sometimes people have feelings, sometimes they don't. But it's just a contract that you make with God. Well, here's one more. Great Falls, Montana. I love the monthly Bible study, and I'm glad it's free. Thank you to all. And so she's writing about a little paper we put out every month called The New Song, The New Song. And it has a Bible study every week and every month. And this is this month, it's the promises of God. As we start a new year, the promises of God. And it's also, the little paper has excerpts from letters that we get from you folks. And it has the sermon topics, and it has the text. And it's just, and it has a schedule where you can get all of our stations from different stations. And it's just a wonderful little paper called The New Song. Now get your pencil and paper, and I'll give it to you when we get done with the sermon. And you can read this, and it's free and postpaid. Really ought to charge something, but we're so good-hearted that we just send it free. How can you beat that? Well, now we're looking at some good examples for this new year. Today we begin 2017. Can you believe it? And a young person, we say, yes, I can believe it. It seems like forever since 2016 started. But if you're 95, if you're long in the years, you'll say, wow, is it here already? It sounds just like it's just like a puff of smoke. It's gone. I want to tell you something, friends. Every year goes faster than the year before. The older you get, the faster they go. And God says that our life is like water spilt on the ground. It's just here and then it's gone. And so consequently, we need to make the best of our life. We used to use our time for honoring Jesus Christ and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have Apostle Peter, and he admonishes us. He says to follow the examples of the Christians in the Bible. He says, how Jesus left us an example that we should follow his steps. And so we're going to look at some of the examples in the Bible of Christian people. And then we're going to close our message today looking at Jesus. He's our model. He's our example. And we always say, what would Jesus do? So that we'll close with Jesus. But first of all, I want you to look at Abraham and look at his faith. Now, Abraham had great faith, and God asked him to leave his home in the Ur of the Chaldees and to go into a land that he had never seen, go into a country he'd never seen. He only probably knew what direction to go. He didn't know how far it was. There were rivers to cross. There were wildernesses. There were marauders in the wilderness that might kill him and his family, and he would be defenseless. But this is what we read in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of the promise, a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him. Of the same promise, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. So let's cast ourselves upon the Lord. Let's do like he did. Let's do like Abraham. We may not know all the way. And when we start out in the Christian life, we can just say, dear Jesus, yeah, I know when I started out in my Christian life, I accepted the Lord when I was 10. And when I was a junior in high school, the Lord was calling me to be to go into the ministry. I didn't know if I was a minister or a pastor or a missionary, but I just followed along. And then he showed, I want you to be a pastor. And so just believe God. And maybe you can't see all the way and you don't understand all that's ahead of us. You just go just the same. Abraham never doubted God. And that's what we have to do. So he's an example of faith. Just pure faith. And then we need to have a close relationship to God like Enoch. Now we don't know much about Enoch and don't hear much about him, but he lived shortly after the Garden of Eden in that period of time. And Enoch loved the Lord so much and he walked so closely with him that one day God said, Enoch, you're closer to me than you are to on earth. I'll take you home to heaven. And Enoch didn't die. He never died. God just took him home. And isn't that beautiful? Here we are told. We are told in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God as he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And look at this, verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so the writer of the Hebrews talks about Enoch. And in Hebrews 11, verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He never died, just took him right into heaven. Not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had a close relationship with God. And dear friends, that's what we all need to do. We need to cultivate that walking with the Lord and getting to know the Lord better. And we can know him personally and intimately, but we need to do that by reading our Bible and studying the Word of God and being in church. Get a church where they're preaching the Bible, and because that's where the power is and that's where the instruction is in that wonderful Word of God. So get into the Bible and get into and walk with God. And so Enoch is a good example. We can do it even though we live in a wild, crazy world, and the world is enmity with God. The world hates God. The world wants to get rid of God. That's why they get rid of the Bible. And they get rid of the church. They get rid of you, preach the gospel. They don't like the gospel. But if they'll just listen, the Holy Spirit will apply it to them and they can see, I need Jesus, and that's the gospel. And so cultivate the Christian life. Get Christian friends. Read Christian books and the like. And then we look at Moses. And we need to make wise decisions as Moses did. And you remember the story of Moses. Here he is born to Jochebed and Amram. And then they have to get rid of him because the Egyptians are going to kill all the male children, babies, little boys. And they put him in a little ark in the Nile River. And you remember the story. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him and brings him back and says, and gives him to Jochebed and says, nurse this baby for me and keep him. I want him to be my son. And when you use time for weaning, I'm going to come to get him. And so all of the time, about 5 or 6 years, sometimes 7 years, they took in they would keep the babies that long. And all that time, that mother was telling Moses, don't you forget, you're a Hebrew. The Hebrews are slaves, and they're abject slaves, and they're being mistreated, and they look like they're nothing. But listen, you, there is just one God, Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews. You're a Hebrew, and Jehovah is your God. Moses, don't you forget that, little boy. Little fella, don't you forget that. And then the day came when Pharaoh's daughter came, and she took him to the palace, and they took all of the professors and all of the teachers and all of the educators, and they pounded it through him his head about the great gods of Egypt. And all Egypt looked great. They had the pyramids and they had the palaces, and they were of glorious, mighty power in that day. And they'd say, this is the God. Look at what our God can do. And then came the day when Moses had to choose between Pharaoh's daughter and his dear mother, her mother's faith. And we're told that Moses, when he made that decision, chose rather to suffer with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have been Pharaoh of Egypt and all the pleasures and joys he would have had, but he took the slaves, and that was the smartest thing he could ever do. And so we're telling you today, make those decisions with Jesus Christ and with God in it. Be on God's side. And the world is going to tempt you to do all kinds of evil things and go their way. But make your decision for Jesus Christ. Some of you have never done that. And you're going to do it today. You're going to do it in this service. You could do it right this minute. You know what you do? You just say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I promise to serve you the best I can and thank him. And you're a child of God. You see, it's that easy? That easy. Yeah. Don't make it hard. People make it hard. Jesus makes it easy. Call on the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. And so you can make that decision right now. I hope you will. And then we need to look at Daniel and look at the daily devotions. And Daniel was a man. And every day he prayed at the window with the window wide open. And he always prayed facing toward Jerusalem. And then they passed a law that you couldn't pray to anybody but the king. And so that, because they wanted to get rid of Daniel. Now, Daniel knew that had happened. And Daniel could have said, well, I'm not going to pray out in the window anymore. I'll pray from my closet. But no, right in the window, let them look at him. And he was condemned to be put to death in the lion's den. But God watched over him. And so every day we should pray. Every day read your Bible. If you don't know where to read in the Bible, start with the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. But read the Bible and pray and pray. Get religious books and get into Bible studies and go to a church where they're preaching the Bible, because you need to have this wonderful God, and you need it. We need it every step of the way. We're never safe until we're in glory, safe at home. And then we look to Job. And he is our model for patience. And you all know the story of poor Job and how that he has lost everything he had, lost his children and lost his property and everything. And then he lost his health. And his wife just says, Job, why don't you curse God and die? And he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was patient. Wait on the Lord. And then draw strength from God, as did David. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And that's Psalm 121. And he is saying, I'm praying to I'm looking at those hills and I'm praying to God. Now he's not praying to the hills, but when he looks at those mountains and the hills and the majesty and the beauty of it, he sees his God and the power of God. And so he says, when I see God's power, I just put my faith and trust in him. And so he walked out and slew old Goliath, put him to death. God, we need to have more people. We need all of us be sure that we just put all of our faith in him and draw strength. And then we need to bring others to Jesus, as did Andrew. When you read about Andrew, he's bringing his brothers to Jesus. He found Jesus. He found salvation. He found the peace and the joy that salvation brings. And so now he gets his brothers and he gets his friends and he brings them. And when you read of Andrew, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you how you can do it. You can bring people to Jesus by urging them to watch the Christian Worship Hour. Because over and over and over, that's all we do is preach the Bible. And over we preach salvation, accepting Jesus Christ. And it may be hard for you to witness to some other person, but you can have them watch the service. And we'll tell the story in the Holy Spirit. I'll preach it here, and then the Holy Spirit will take it up. And oh boy, he'll apply it to hearts and souls, and he'll bring them to Jesus Christ. Many, many will come right during this service. People are turning to Jesus right now, all over the world. The Holy Spirit is at work, talking and witnessing and bringing people. So we can do that. And then when you give to help us in our work, that's a helping to get. We can't afford to put out all this preaching and all this teaching. And so we have to have money to do that, to pay our way. And that's the way we want it. We don't want to beg anything for Jesus Christ. And so as you support this ministry, you're bringing people to Jesus. See, tell them about it. Pray for us. Support our ministry. And that's the way the gospel can go out. Oh, it's a wonderful way. But the most important one to watch is Jesus. And that's what we want to look at the most. It's great to emulate the value of great men and women in faith. But remember, they all have feet of clay. And they're going to fail one way or another. But the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. And he will never fail. And the more you know of him, the more you will love him. When I see people say they don't love Jesus, it's because they don't know him. If you knew him, you couldn't help but love him. So Jesus is our example. He's our example of trusting God. And so many times we say, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if this is going to come to pass. And I'm all worrying. I'm all fretting. And what you need to do is just remember this. Just give it to the Lord. God will bring it to pass. Don't worry and fret and fuss. It won't change anything anyway. And then he's our example for living the goodly life, the godly life. And so Jesus tells us, he says in Matthew 5, verse 48, be ye perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And so we strive for perfection, but I'm going to give you a little secret. You're never going to be perfect. We'll never be perfect. We're going to always have those flaws. But when we love Jesus and we're trusting Jesus, He'll help us to become more like Jesus. And that's what we want to be, more like Jesus. That's my song. That's our prayer. That's our desire. And so we just put our faith in Jesus and love Him. Jesus is our example in loving others. He says, walk in love as Christ also loved us. Ephesians 5, verse 2. He tells us to love others, and we love our enemies as though and those who persecute us. We are to love those people and to forgive those people and not hold a grudge against them, because when we hold a grudge, it only hurts us. It just hurts us ourselves. And when we have unforgiveness, it's like one man said, it's like you trying to take poison to kill somebody else, but you take the poison yourself. It'll hurt us Christians as we have to forgive and forget. And then we all have Jesus as our example of remaining true. Once we start with Jesus Christ, we must never turn back. The writer of the Hebrews puts it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Stay at your post. Never give up. And Satan will try to get you to give up. Never give up. And if you start to wonder about giving up, think about the persecuted church. Every week we pray, every service we pray for different people in the persecuted church. Today we're going to pray for Syria in our prayer. But we're talking about this wonderful people that are loving the Lord Jesus, and many are dying for Him. You want to know something? The Open Doors USA says 2015 was the worst year on record for Christian persecution of the world. The report estimated that 7,000 Christians were killed for their faith in the year 2015. And that was an increase of 50% from the previous year, the highest number on record since statistics were kept. And of all of the countries of the world where the Christians suffer the most is North Korea. The hardest place to be a Christian is in North Korea. And we need to love Jesus, and we need to be willing to die for Him, because our brothers and sisters are dying for Him. Why shouldn't we? And that's the kind of a commitment we have. And we never turn back and we never look back. What are you talking about? We can't all be successful and we can't all be famous and all that and rich and all of the rest of it, but we can all be faithful. Every one of us can be faithful. There was a man, a great pastor, a Lutheran pastor, German Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. During the Nazi regime, he was hanged because of his faith and stand for Jesus Christ. And Bonhoeffer used to preach, and he'd say, when Christ calls a man, He bids him come and die. Here it is, Matthew 16:3-16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so that's what Jesus is telling us. Be faithful, be true, be loyal. Oh, my dear friends, I am praying that all of us who are Christian people, that when we see our brothers and sisters dying and we're seeing their little children scattered about, oh, my God, where are they? What will happen to their children and their husbands and their wives and all of their loved ones? And they're scattered everywhere. 7,000 died in 2015. So we're a part of that, a part of our company. That's a part of our family, and we're going to stand up just like they did. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't do it unless you have Jesus Christ. And you'll never have Jesus Christ unless you ask Him into your heart. Jesus says, and He tells us in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus. He's standing at the door of your heart, and He's knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, you have to open the door. Jesus Christ could smash that door in a million pieces, but He won't do it. He has given us a will of our own, our mind of our own, and we will open the door or we will leave it closed. And He says, if I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice, I will come in. If I open the door and come in. And so that's what you have to do. Dear Jesus, just pray it right now. Pray it with me. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and cleanse me of my sins. I'll follow you and serve you even to the death. I'll follow you and serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you did that, you write to us. And we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. If you want to, you can send it on over the internet on christianworshiphour.com. So if you've accepted the Lord and you write to us or call us and send us, we'll send you literature. Now we need to have you to help us. You have not because you ask not. So we ask. We have to have your help. We have to have your prayers. We have to have your gifts. And so you need to send that gift to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And the way you do it is this. You ask, "Dear Lord, is this something you want me to support?" If he says yes, then ask you how much and give what he says. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the multitudes that just now prayed to accept you as the Savior. God bless them. And Lord, we're praying today for our brothers and sisters in Syria, man, all over the world, but especially in Syria. Oh, give them courage and help them to know that we take courage because of their stand for you, oh God. And help those who are on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and those who are lonely and those who are in despair, the young people trying to decide. Bless us all. Bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're happy to be with you today. And again, I want to give you that address, and especially to those on shortwave, have shortwave all on 90% of the earth, 90%. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and then USA. And if you want to have the new song, you put that, our little Bible study, right for that. If you want to have the booklet on suicide, write for that. Just to put suicide. But of all things, write to us and be sure you pray for us. We pray for you and you pray for us. And someday, some bright sunny day, the trumpet will sound and the Lord will return and we'll all be gathered together and we'll all be in heaven. And we'll get to meet each other and we'll get to see Jesus and the saints of all ages. And won't we have a celebration? And so until that time, let's be faithful. We can't all be successful, but we can all be faithful. Be true to the Lord, even if it costs our life. I hope I'm that good a Christian. And then when Jesus comes, we'll rejoice with him. God bless you. We love you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.